We're back live with more of the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon, benefiting cancer research in partnership with Stand Up to Cancer and Brain Up.
Hey, this is Mike Mulligan from The Score, and I stand up for both my parents. My father, Patrick, died of lung cancer. My mother, Mary, died of colon cancer. We will always stand up for our parents.
Donate now by texting the phrase CURE24 to 41444. That's CURE24 to 41444.
Okay, we are rolling here. $328,000 and counting. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. We are 10 hours in. Cannot believe we are not halfway done here. We are 10 hours in to the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon. Anthony Heron in with me now. This is pretty incredible stuff here.
Yeah. The stories, and I like the blend of the stories you've been able to tell, not only from sports legends in Chicago and beyond, but families impacted by it. And now the discussion we were just able to have with Dr. Karan Dixit, just to give folks a sense for where the money goes. And I think that's important. I know for my family, we try to be very specific with our giving and kind of know where it's going and trust the entity that's involved in it. And obviously there's a trust that develops with listeners of the station and you or fans of the Cubs and what they do and what their brand represents. But at the same time, to be able to hear someone who is actually there, who is literally involved in the implementation of this funding and these studies and is there trying to help people beat glioblastoma. I mean, I think that's a really good addition to the lineup, just to make sure that they're hearing that aspect of it as well.
Yeah, that's certainly kind of the idea behind the whole thing. And joining us now is another patient story. Hamid has been kind enough to join us here on the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon. Said I could call him at any hour of the night because he was always going to be up. And I was like, I'm not going to make you stay up all night, man. So thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
If you'd like, listen, if you want to come back in at 4 a.m, that would be fine. But
life has changed since then.
Yeah, I believe you. Why don't you tell people about how you found out that you had something going on in your brain at the gym back in 2016. That is a crazy, because people are like, how do you know that you have it? You had a pretty obvious situation.
Yeah, I was at the gym working out when I all of a sudden had a focal seizure. And a focal seizure is just, like one limb, my left arm was starting just having a seizure, which of course had never happened before. So I was freaking out. And I was lifting really heavy weights like seconds before it happened. But luckily, I had stopped, and so, I was squatting, hundreds of pounds, and, 2 minutes later, I had this focal seizure, and so, just to say that, thank God it didn't happen while I was actually squatting with all that weight on my back. Anyway, I was just visiting the city, so I was at a gym on a guest pass, and I had the seizure, and there were two doctors who happened to be standing right next to me. So they sat me down and they started doing this protocol, touch my finger, touch your nose here. Anyway, so then they called an ambulance and I went to Illinois Masonic Hospital, and that's where I was diagnosed, not with a GBM, with a different kind of brain tumor.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, tell people what it's called, and you had it grade 2, right?
Yeah, it's called an oligodendroglioma.
And so that prognosis is significantly longer than a GBM.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to say, though, because I think I heard Dr. Dixon say there's rare tumors. So there's not a lot of information or data about them. And the, prognoses vary widely for them. So anyway, I got diagnosed at Illinois Masonic, and then I was so freaked out, I started having panic attacks, and one day I was going to the art. Like I said, I was just visiting. I was visiting my family. I was going to the Art Institute, and I started just really having a panic attack. So I said, I was taking a taxi, and I asked the taxi driver to take me to the nearest hospital, which was Northwestern. And I went there, and then they followed up, and then within like a week and a half, I was there for a week and a half, and then I wound up doing a surgery called an awake craniotomy, where they wake you up in the middle of your brain surgery so they could, you know, ask you questions while they're, you know, operating to determine what's, they call it eloquent brain tumor versus, or brain tissue versus, you know, static brain tissue. So that was the journey.
Yeah, an awake craniotomy. That basically brain surgery while you're awake. What do you remember about it?
I remember everything about it. It was like being in a horror movie, like Dr. Frankenstein. No, it was, you know, you're surrounded by people, and you know, you're not in any pain or anything, but he's just asked you, like, he'll touch a part of your brain, and then maybe your hand will open or your foot will move or, you know, that kind of thing. So he knows what to, you know, what he can deal with and what would be dangerous. But yeah, I remember everything about it. It was, and I left the, I was only in the hospital for, I had surgery, and I think I left the next day. And when I left, I wanted to see like how far I could walk. So I walked to Michigan Avenue, and my head is full of staples, but I had a hat on. And I took the bus home. I lived on Lakeshore Drive, though, so I took the express bus home. I'm just standing on the bus. Like, I just had an awake craniotomy the day before. But anyway, so then I wound up having radiation, a specialized kind of radiation called proton radiation. That it's a beam that's like more focused and direct, so it doesn't do that much damage to your brain. And then I had a chemotherapy it was just a pill that I took. And it was pretty benign. Like, I was working out, like, every day that I was on chemotherapy. But, yeah, like I said, I mean, there's not a lot of data about these tumors because they're really quite rare. So, I mean, what you're doing is extremely helpful because there's not a lot of, like, funding that goes to this.
You mentioned the focal seizure, and I wanted to go back to that because you're in the midst of working out. You're a healthy individual. And I feel like so many people end up in situations where something doesn't feel right. And maybe they just try to keep it moving. Well, describe how did the focal seizure present itself to you? What were those symptoms?
It's just like, I didn't feel anything. All of a sudden I was working out really hard. And all of a sudden my left arm just started like wigging out. I mean, it just started just like, you know, moving uncontrollably. And I was so stunned by it. Like, it had never happened before. And I didn't feel sick. I mean, I was working out really hard. I was listening to really loud music. And the most extraordinary thing in the world was that the two dudes standing right next to me were both doctors.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
It's incredible.
So, but it was weird because they're just like, hey, sit down. And then he's like doing this protocol, you know, like touch my finger, touch your finger to your nose. And he was doing all the shit. And I'm like, are you a doctor? he didn't sit me down and say, hi, I'm a doctor. I know what I'm doing. So it's kind of funny. But then when I went to the hospital, I had a doctor who was just horrible. The doctor who told me my diagnosis, he was just like, had the worst bedside manner. I was at the hospital. It was just really chaos. All these different kind of people were coming into my room, like interns, residents, like just a lot of different people. I had no idea who they were. And so lots of people certain people would give me like dribs and drabs of information. Like one person would say, you know, don't worry, there's a lot of treatment for people with cancer. And I was like, what? Like no one had come in and formally told me what I had. Just some random, you know, neurologist or student came in and told me. So it was a horrible experience. But then when I went to Northwestern, it was much better.
So people can make donations here. Text CURE 24 to 41444, CubsForACure.com. We also, right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match from Cubs Charities. So your $5 becomes $10, $100 becomes $200. And we also, these W Club tickets, right, Shane? We got four of them to give away. At what price point? I'm sorry, I lost the page here in front of me.
$750. We've got two of them. We've got two W Club tickets, a pair for $750.
Okay, so that is food, drink included. This is a third baseline ticket. This is an exclusive club at Wrigley Field. Excellent food, mutually agreed upon Cubs date. So you make a $750 donation right now at 773-388-8270, 773-388-8270. Get two club tickets, tax-deductible donation, and then you also get 100% of that money going to cancer research, and you get your money doubled through Cubs Charities. So that's an incredible deal. 773-388-8270. Just one pair in that club, so those should absolutely fly right now. Hamid, how are you doing? I mean, what are your symptoms? How are you doing today?
I've lived like pretty symptom free actually all this time. I don't really have any symptoms right now. Like I said, these tumors, like the symptoms vary a lot. And I live pretty much a normal life since I was diagnosed, to be honest. The chemotherapy I did is known for being kind of less impactful or less hard on the body. Like I said, I didn't even really, couldn't even tell that I was on it. And I was like working out every day that I was on it. So, but mostly, yeah, I've lived pretty symptom free. I don't really have any like major symptoms right now.
It's amazing, man. Well, we hope that all continues, obviously. And we really appreciate you calling in and taking some time to tell your story. It's impressive, and keep on keeping on. All right.
Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you very much. 59 years old, brain cancer patient. I mean, you know, I can't squat that much weight. Having a seizure while you're squatting, it's terrifying, man.
It certainly sounds like it. Yeah.
It's why I don't squat.
That explains it.
Yeah. That's I've decided. Right. I've decided that that's going to keep me free.
Yeah, we had an incident at the house the other night. My wife said, "All right, that's why I'm never going to make the bed again." I mean, we'll recover from it, but
oh, wow.
Yeah, it was an unfortunate way. Yeah, everybody's fine. We just, you know, there's a stain.
Wow.
Yeah.
A fun stain?
No, unfortunately not.
Not a fun.
Still cancer radiothon, yeah. By the way. It's a good thing. Don't talk about sex.
Okay, my bad. Sorry. Been on the air for over 10 hours.
Cancer patients can have sex.
Yeah,
they're allowed to do that.
Definitely. They're definitely allowed. All right. Yeah, good point, though, Shane. Good point. Excellent point.
W Club gone already.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Those club seats at Wrigley, man, those things, that's a good time. I haven't been in the W Club, but the Barrel Room and the 1914 Club and all that, Catalina Club, they've done a really, really nice job of blending them in. You don't even know they're there, but then you get to the seats and it's like all the food and the booze and the wait service coming to you, the vendors. It's pretty.
You've been to Wrigley a lot.
I've been to Wrigley.
Rattling off.
I've been to Wrigley a lot, man. I've been to Wrigley a lot.
For the last time, apparently. That's unfortunate.
Not the last time. I'm going to be there Saturday. Saturday's going to be an incredible day at Wrigley.
I bet.
An incredible day.
That'll be your last time. All right.
Then I'm done forever.
Hey, Ann, has anybody told you about Wrigley?
I've at least been there. I saw one text was like, "Hey, did anybody tell Ant that Bears drafted Caleb Williams?"
Yeah.
That I was working.
You're aware of that.
Most of my social media consumption is work related. That's kind of what it comes down to.
Okay, good. Well, yes. The Bears drafted Caleb Williams. The Cubs offense has been a disappointment this season, and I'm leaving the Score. So now you're all caught up. Okay.
In the proper order of succession there, of importance.
No.
In reverse order.
Caleb Williams, me, then Cubs offense. Right. I'll drop the Cubs offense down to three. Even during the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon. I'm happy to do that.
Why am I being offered all these shifts? I don't know. It's my busy time. You know I can't do all this stuff. This explains it.
There's some time slots available coming up. You didn't ask?
I'm too busy to ask. Like, I can do this. I can't do that. All right, let me get this home security system installed. Like, I've just been doing stuff.
All right, you've been doing stuff. You've been doing stuff. But, listen, this weekend, they're hoping for it to be a record-setting 50-50 raffle at Wrigley. The players designed custom cleats. It can be in honor of someone in their life with cancer, or it can just be like something that they really like. Mm-hmm. So, like, and a couple of guys have multiple ones. Jameson Taillon was in earlier, so he revealed his, and it was, like, coffee-themed. I'm not going to give away too many of the details of what I've seen, but we'll just say that PCA's is a tribute to a Cubs legend. There's one that is, like, person loves wine. Mm. It's wine-themed. And, like, the shoe is, like...
Bernstein.
Right, exactly. but it's, like... There's cork in the laces.
Okay.
And I mean, these are like, and they are going to all be auctioned off. So they're going to be game worn and then auctioned off. And these are one of ones.
Incredible.
It's going to be really, so they've put all of that effort into just one pair of cleats for this one weekend series, for this one real game on Saturday. And so, yeah, the Marquee is going to be doing a television auction during the series against the Blue Jays. So it's going to be – they're pulling out all the stops.
I don't know if you know the answer to this off the top of your head, but I'm going to ask anyway. With the cleats, is there one company that designs all these very special and unique cleats for everyone? Or does everybody kind of do their own thing with their own people?
No, there's an artist and company that came in that does the custom cleats. I don't know the company off the top of my head, but yes, they flew in – a cleat artist, whatever. Yeah. I don't know the company, but whoever does it.
Term for that job. But yeah. Cleat artist would actually, that
sounds
that
pretty good.
Yeah,
right?
Suitable. Sure.
They flew this person in and he like met with the team and showed them some prototypes of like what was possible. Okay. And then they kind of went back and said, well, I would like it to be about my dog or about my mother or about coffee or about like whatever it was. Yeah. And then so they came up with their ideas and like the three or four things that they wanted incorporated in it. And then this person kind of like did some mock-ups and then they would send them to the players and then the players would say, that's pretty much what I was thinking, but what about that? And so it's like a back and forth collaborative process and they're going to be auctioned off this weekend.
Company is Souls by Sir.
Thank you.
Souls by Sir.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Was the example of the dog who has cancer that's being honored, is that a real example or is that?
Oh, I don't know. No, the dog doesn't have cancer. I was just saying it was. I think one of the players is real into their dog, and so they're auctioning them off for cancer research.
But not every unique,
not set every of cleats cleat is about.
Okay,
right. No, so like I said, one of them's about the player's love of coffee, and that's not Ian Happ. Mm-hmm. Some of them are tributes. Some of them are just about. They're supposed to be custom, so it's just like this cleat is for this person. One is like something about the person's kids, and, you know. So it's just about getting to know the Cubs player individually.
They're passionate about individually,
Then I mean, you've heard all of the rejoins and stuff like that, and we're going to hear a ton of them in the overnights. These player testimonials and their stories, but then yes, of course, then the biggest moment. So there's a ton. Like I'll be in a dunk tank before the game on Saturday. Crane Kenny's going to be in the dunk tank, which is Crane better raise more money in that dunk tank than me. Okay, I know that sometimes I've been a public enemy or a villain out in these Chicago streets, but not more than Crane Kenny.
Of course not.
I mean, come on. Right. Put big money to get that guy into a dunk tank. But that I don't know. And football does a good job. I think the NBA does a great job of like tributes and moments and celebration. But I don't know if any league has something that tops the stand up to cancer moment at the All-Star Game in the World Series.
As a singular moment. Yeah.
I think it's so cool. They stop the game, they stop the World Series, and from every player, every manager and coach, the broadcasters, the umpires, and then everybody in the stands stands up for someone or ones with cancer or they've lost or are fighting or themselves or whatever. And then you just see that it's hit everybody. I just think that is such a powerful message.
And it's so simple. And that's where the most powerful moments tend to come from.
Just exactly.
Simple. Give everybody a sign. Everyone stand up.
Write a name.
Pans around slowly. And everyone gets something out of it.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful thing. And so I can't believe that it's never happened at a non-World Series or All-Star game setting. So I just think bringing that to Wrigley. So at the end of the fourth inning, they're going to stop the game on Saturday against the Blue Jays, and we're going to do that moment at Wrigley. I think it's just going
to
be absolutely
incredible. They're going to have to cut off the dunk tank line for you at some point before then. You're going to have a really long line.
I think I'm in the 11th.
Folks want to dunk you.
Yeah, I'm early because I have other things that I need to do, so I got to dry off. 11 a.m. It was funny. We've had a lot of calls with the Cubs to plan this thing over the last months and months.
No way.
Yeah. Shane's even been on some of them. And things occasionally even got accomplished. As you can see today, we've accomplished a lot. But during this last one, they were like, we want you to do the dunk tank. I was like, yeah, of course, no problem. And I was like, okay, so just put me earlier because I'm going to have like family and all that. So like, so that I can like go back to my car and change whenever. They're like, hey, you know, we'll let you into our offices to use a bathroom to change. You're doing a 24-hour radiothon. You don't have to change in your car. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, this radiothon probably is enough to get me access to a bathroom. So anyway, so yeah, I'll bring a change of clothes. I'll be in the dunk tank in like 11 a.m., 11:30, something like that, Saturday morning. I'll see you out there.
I got to look at my calendar.
Yeah. You're busy. You're always available unless you're doing something.
Unless I'm doing something. Shout out to Coach.
Another patient coming up in about 20 minutes. I want to play a testimonial from a marquee analyst, marquee network analyst. His story and his connection to cancer absolutely blew me away. Like it stuck with me since we talked a couple of weeks ago. You're going to hear it next on The Score.
We're back live with more of the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon, benefiting cancer research in partnership with Stand Up to Cancer and Brain Up.
This is Kyle Milnemo from Melissa and Austin on US 99. I stand up for Kevin Milnemo, my father, who lost his battle to lung cancer in 2004. My dad is still my hero and an inspiration for how hard he fought that battle. We just celebrated the 20th anniversary of his passing, but I can confidently say that I wouldn't be the man I am today without him. I love you, Dad.
Donate now by texting the phrase CURE24 to 41444. That's CURE24 to 41444.
So many of these stories have been absolutely inspiring. Thank you to Cubs Charities for doing some late night matches for us. You make that text number, CURE24 to 41444, CubsForACure.com. $5 becomes 10, 100 becomes 200, 25 becomes 50. We're trying to raise as much money as we can. The goal for the weekend, for the Cubs for the Cure weekend, is $1 million for cancer research. And we are over $330,000 just through this radiothon. So we're trying to raise $1 million for the Cubs for a Cure weekend. We're going to get as close as we can with just the radiothon. Want the score to be the biggest fundraiser of the whole thing. Let's get it going. We know you can do it. We know the score. Make an $83 donation. Terry Bors was on earlier. Yeah, Terry, do that. We make a $23 donation for Ryan Sandberg. I mean, the guy announced that he's cancer-free on these airwaves earlier today. So there's so much that you can do. $83 for the score, $23 for Rhino. Just come in hot. Text your boss, tell your company, tell your rich friend, whatever the case may be, for a big donation. But $5 makes a huge difference as well. Text CURE24 to 41444. So, you know, over the last, I don't know, 4 weeks or so, been going out to Wrigley and meeting with players beforehand. You've heard all of the rejoins of who players and people are standing for, right? And so the players were amazing, and they'd come in and we just take 5 minutes of their time, and they're great. And then, but one of the days I went to the Marquee Network and talked to some people, and Cliff Floyd, I mean, you know, Chicago legend, excellent analyst at Marquee. Like, you know, I don't know the story when I sit down with him. I'm like, all right, Cliff, so how has cancer impacted your life? Listen to this story.
Hi, this is Cliff Floyd, and I stand for Shanta Floyd, and I look back on her life and the memories, and we cherish so much of what she went through and how she handled the breast cancer that she had. And when you think about trying to find a cure, when you think about today's world, you know, that's why awareness is so important, and I'll never, ever forget my sister Shanta.
Cliff, how has cancer impacted your life?
You know, I go back to my... We adopted a young girl back in the day. My mom did, and she was accepting our family, Shanta. And out of nowhere, she developed breast cancer. And, you know, we were losing it. I was still playing, and my mom was going through it. And I think the biggest thing is, you know, when you think about breast cancer, you think about any illness, is later on in life. For hopefully most people, I know it affects so many other younger population as well. But when I think about her, she was kind of turning her life around. She, obviously, when you adopt, you never know what the person's going through, or what the child's going through at the particular time. But we was trying to give her a second chance at life, and I think that was the most important thing for her. And then to develop breast cancer at the age of 18, and then pass away at the age of 21, you don't even know a thing, right? So, you know, it's something that you never come, you know, you never become accustomed to. I think you just kind of think, you know, it was her time, and unfortunately, you know, at a tender age of 21, she was gone. So that in itself makes you think about so many different people that's affected, so many different families, and you know, you always will have a special place in your heart for hers and for others as well.
When that happened, how did it impact you?
You know, you just see, we always use, you know, the terms of you see things totally different in your life, and you kind of try to do things totally different and live a little faster and so forth. And I don't, you know, however long it lasts. But I think those are memories, you know, you kind of sit back at times and cherish the memories. I think that's the one thing that you always will hold on to. You know, we as a family became closer. I think, you know, my mom definitely did this out of kindness of her heart to, you know, and it's, I mean, I had my brother there, and, you know, to bring someone in is dicey, right, to a family, right? And you don't know how it's going to affect, you don't know how much attention is needed, and so on and so forth. So I think it brought us together. You know, we were, you know, we was considered as three siblings instead of two, you know, and all those things were pretty special for us. So I think it helped us as far as, you know, just how we looked at life and how we kind of appreciated one another.
So cancer's impacted basically everyone. I lost my brother to cancer. What does it mean to you when you see the Cubs as an organization and people were, you know, we're all doing our part, we're trying to raise money. Like, yeah. When you see an event like this, what's that mean to you?
I mean, awareness is everything. You know, always, you know, not, you know, doing it out of the kindness of your heart and doing it, you know, in a way that, you know, like I said, becomes a memory. It's that to me is what I think, for, you know, when I look at the Cubs and so many things with Boog doing the ALS awareness and so on and so forth. So it trickles down, and each one is in its own separate category, right? And it's special in its own way. And I think that's important to look at as well. And, you know, when you think about CURE, there's always trial and error, right? There's always opportunities for us to try to see. I was reading something this morning about a medicine that's out there that's helping Parkinson's. And, like, you know, you see different things, and it's like, man, you can't stop, right? You can't stop until there's a CURE, because, you know, quality of life, man, it's so special. Like, in our world today, I mean, it's so much turmoil and so many things that's spread out that, man, we better live fast. And if you can find a CURE and help people get back to their everyday life, that in itself is incredible.
So that's Cliff Floyd. Just think about that. He's in the show. His mom says, we are now people of means. We can help someone have a second chance at life. She adopts an 18-year-old. Cliff now has a younger sister. Diagnosed with breast cancer, dead at 21. That is just, I mean, my God. The heart of gold that his mom had, how that would rock you to your core. That is, I was knocked off my feet when Cliff told me that story. And I thought it was so deeply personal. that it just I really commend him for telling it. And you know, if we get one $233 donation, which is the number of home runs he had in his career, we'll go over $330,000. So I feel like we should do that for Cliff Floyd here. Let's get over $330,000 for Cliff Floyd telling us that story. Text cure24 to 41444 or cubsforacure.com.
The way that he delivered the story as well, you know, you can certainly tell that he was impacted by it. And so you're spending so much time over at Wrigley in recent weeks and talking to different folks. I would imagine it's one thing. It's not hard to find someone impacted by cancer. Not everyone is kind of willing to go there. What was that process like, just to sort of get the people to be willing to share, to even locate who's actually got, you know, something they're up for?
The Cubs were great. The Cubs were kind of the producers on site, so they, you know, pitched it to the players, and the players, almost everybody raised their hands. I think a few people said that it was too personal and didn't want to share, which is obviously totally fine. Right. But you know, so they brought the players to me. They set me up in a room off the clubhouse that I had never been in, and they were like, "All right, now PCA's coming by. Now, you know, Hap's coming by. Now Tyone's coming by. Now Wisdom's coming by." Like, so they just kind of brought the players who were willing to share and tell their story. And I mean, we had 16 or 17 players, you know what I mean? And a few guys that with like a language barrier, obviously. So, you know what I mean? It was basically total buy-in. Yeah. And so it was a pretty incredible experience. Robbie Triano helped out a lot with that. And so, you know, just to appreciate everyone at the Cubs for making this what it's been. We've got another patient who's going to be calling in and joining us. And then Chuck Swirsky will be here at 9 o'clock. Cubsforacure.com is how you donate. It's the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon on the Score.
We're back live with more of the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon, benefiting cancer research in partnership with Stand Up to Cancer and Brain Up.
This is David Hoff from The Score, and I stand up for my sister, Michelle Havens, who's been battling cancer, two different types of cancer, for the last 10 years, and I stand up for her today.
Donate now by texting the phrase CURE24 to 41444. That's CURE24 to 41444.
That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to raise money for cancer research. Everyone has been impacted. Let's go. We are $33 away from $330,000, which would put us a third of the way to the million-dollar goal for the weekend of Cubs for a Cure. Let's get there. We can do this. We're over 1,300 donors just during the Radiothon. Scoreheads, if you've donated, thank you. But tell a friend. Text CURE24 to 41444. Post about it on your Facebook wall. Post about it on your Instagram. Post about it on your Twitter. You say, "I only got 46 followers." Yeah, but maybe one of them is going to make a donation. So spread the word. Make a donation. We're still doubling it overnight here with Cubs Charities up for the next 20 grand or so we've got for a dollar-for-dollar match until it picks up again in morning drive. But joining us now, another patient, Kelly Capper, diagnosed with glioblastoma, being treated at the Malnati Brain Tumor Institute right here in Chicago. Kelly, thank you so much for your time on the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon. How are you, sir?
Howdy. Good. I feel privileged having been invited by you guys. Thank you.
Oh no, the honor is all ours. You know, people have been telling their stories all day. The glioblastoma diagnosis, same one my brother had. It's brain cancer without a cure. It's a scary one. Can you tell us your story of what it was like when you got that that diagnosis?
Yeah. Well, actually, first I wanted to. I tuned in this morning because it got started at 10, and well, first of all, I was sad, obviously, to hear about your brother Brad again. It was good to hear from Dan and Meg, the founders of Brain Up. But I was happy and privileged to have met you at our kickoff event for Brain Up a couple months ago. And then especially, and I know I texted this to you, when I saw you on TV, on First Things First and The Herd with Colin Cowherd, filling in for these guys, I was just like, oh my God, that's so, so impressive. And it's so awesome to have you helping raise for the Brain Up and being part of their board. Anyway.
Well, okay. Thank you very much. I'm doing it in honor of my brother Brad. I very much appreciate you saying that. But you're the bravery recipient. You're the patient. You're the one with the diagnosis. So you know people know my story, but tell them yours. I mean, you're a father of twins, and you get this diagnosis. How have you been dealing with it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was the whole thing was shocking. I mean. I got diagnosed on the 4th of July of 2023, which was shocking to begin with. I had surgery on the 7th and got home fairly quickly. And, you know, it's definitely been a little bit of a nightmare for, you know, the family and for friends and, you know, I don't have the benefit of having a ton of my immediate family. My dad and my mom passed away from a rare cancer a couple of years ago. I have a brother who's in St. Charles, but everyone else on my in-law side and my side just aren't nearby. So it's hard. I don't have a ton of help dealing with it. But it, you know, it was, I felt lucky. I got the surgery happened, through the North Shore system, which, I think has changed to Endeavor. The doctor's name was Dr. Wong. I think he, did an awesome job because I only spent, one night in the ICU. He released me cause, I was begging to get out of there cause my kid's birthday was the next day. You know, but it's been a fight. I would say medically and spiritually just like dealing with this stuff. Cause to be honest, like it's been hard for me to even accept that, you know, every glioblastoma is deemed a stage four. I've been lucky. It's been 13 months since my initial surgery, and I had an MRI yesterday, and it looks like the cancer hasn't come back yet. So I'm psyched about that. Anyway, it was great to get invited to bring up to help raise some money, especially, you know, specifically for brain cancer, because it's kind of a rare cancer that the government doesn't really spend a ton of funding on. You know, I earlier this year, my wife was great and organized a team to raise money for this rare cancer event. And so, you know, we're looking forward to doing the same thing for Brain Up and these guys.
How much self-talk is there? You were mentioning just kind of the emotional toll that it can take, the spiritual toll that you kind of go through with it. How often do you have to convince yourself not to sort of, you know, fall into any bouts of thinking about negativity, thinking about your mortality in sort of a grave way?
You know, it's, I've kind of adopted, two thoughts. I kind of stole a slogan from a former company I used to work for, and I'm not going to mention their name, but I'm sure you guys will know, just never stop exploring. I used to work for them, and you know, I'm chasing the things that make me happy. Because even though I sometimes try to convince people that I'm going to be around for 25 years, the reality is that people diagnosed with this, only 15% of the patients live past 5 years, you know, which is, it's kind of a shitty, as far as longevity is looks. But I'm just trying to chase the things that make me happy, you know, socially, athletically, professionally. I'm really, you know, I can't believe I'm talking on the radio right now. This is the first time I've ever done this.
and you've only cursed once.
Yeah,
Kelly.
So far.
Yeah.
I was gonna try not to do that again. I was jokingly going to say, like, what's the rating for radio now? Is it G or PG? Like, what?
No. We'll keep it PG. You're fine. Don't apologize at all. You're doing a great, great, great job. I know you're going to be at the Brain Up 5K September 21st, the 9th annual. It's September 21st. People can go to brainup.ngo to get all of the information. You can register your team right there on the website. You'll be up on that stage, and Brainup's got a booth at Gallagher Way on Saturday at the Cubs for a Cure event. So listen, man, you keep on keeping on, stay strong, and thank you so much for calling in and telling your story. All right, Kelly?
I appreciate it, man. And I just want people to just get into hope, you know, for themselves, their friends, their injured, that hope's a good thing.
It is. Thank you very much, yeah. Kelly. We'll keep the hope, man. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, buddy. Take it easy.
Thank you. That's Kelly Capper with us here on The Score. Keep the donations coming overnight. We've crossed over $330,000. We very much appreciate you. Text Cure 24 to 41444, cubsforacure.com. $5 matters, $100 matters, anything you can do. Everyone either has cancer or knows someone who has been impacted by cancer. Ant, thank you so much, man. I mean, we've hosted many times together, and you came in today just thinking, I'm just going to help Parkins get through 24 hours. And you didn't even know that this was my last day.
No, I did not. I did not. But I think the first time I met you in person, I hugged you because it was in the midst of just all the upheaval with your, I think it was your changing role at the station at that point. So yeah, I'm happy that I hugged you tonight. It might be the only two times we've ever hugged, maybe. Or no, when your son was going through
when he was in the NICU. Yeah, you hugged me then too.
Yeah,
you're a good hugger. You're a good hugger.
Adam Amin's got me. But Adam Amin's got you.
Yeah. John Vincent's got you. You know, there's some people who got you, but you know, you're a big, impressive man. So you give a good hug. You give a good hug.
Try to take pride in that.
You should. Mm. No, man, listen, stay in touch. Crush it this football season.
It's a plan.
And I know you will. And you know, what do you think? 4,500 yards, 13 wins, NFC Championship game, that's as a floor?
Probably not. No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No. But it'll be entertaining.
Hater. It is good. It is good. You know what? That is the safest prediction ever. How interesting is this team, man?
It's already the most interesting Bears team in years, really. And
right.
I mean, so many of them are young and impressive. So yeah, I mean, we're in for a very entertaining few seasons, regardless of what the results are.
But you think they're gonna be good, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, good. Not elite, but good.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good.
I think they'll be good.
I'll take good. Is 8 wins good or is 10 wins good?
I think 10 wins is good.
10 wins is good. 10 wins, man. Hell yeah.
I think they're going to win 9 games.
9 games.
Yeah.
All right. That's more than half. That's 9-8.
Right?
Yeah. That's boring. What a boring prediction. What a boring prediction for the last time we're together. This guy's like, they're going to be 9-8.
Uh-huh.
Ugh.
That's what they got for you. It's not my fault. Blame the Bears.
I mean, blame you. Blame you.
The Bears.
It has it's been an honor getting to know you and work with you, man. Thank you so much for doing this.
It has been a lot of fun to get to know you as well, man. Look forward to seeing your continued rise.
Hey, man.
It was a pleasant surprise showing up and getting that news tonight. That was fun.
You were genuinely thrilled for me.
That was a lot of fun to find out live on the air.
That was you were adorable. That was really amazing.
I'm really happy for you, man. I very much am.
Thank you.
That is outstanding news. I like getting good news.
Yeah, hey, absolutely. And it's good news that we're about a third of the way to the $1 million goal for the weekend. We're going to keep it up, though. Text CURE24 to 41444. We got some more incentives to unleash in the next hour. We got Chuck Swirsky in the house. If you missed the moment of the day with Rhino, that's coming up in about 25 minutes. We got a lot more to come. We need to, because I got 13 hours to go. It's the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon on the Score.
We're back live with more of the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon, benefiting cancer research in partnership with Stand Up to Cancer and Brain Up.
This is David Hoff from The Score, and I stand up for my sister, Michelle Havens, who's been battling cancer, two different types of cancer, for the last 10 years, and I stand up for her today.
Donate now by texting the phrase CURE24 to 41444. That's CURE24 to 41444.
That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to raise money for cancer research. Everyone has been impacted. Let's go. We are $33 away from $330,000, which would put us a third of the way to the million-dollar goal for the weekend of Cubs for a Cure. Let's get there. We can do this. We're over 1,300 donors just during the Radiothon. Scoreheads, if you've donated, thank you. But tell a friend. Text CURE24 to 41444. Post about it on your Facebook wall. Post about it on your Instagram. Post about it on your Twitter. You say, I only got 46 followers. Yeah, but maybe one of them is going to make a donation. So spread the word. Make a donation. We're still doubling it overnight here with Cubs Charities up for the next 20 grand or so we've got for a dollar-for-dollar match until it picks up again in morning drive. But joining us now, another patient, Kelly Capper. Diagnosed with glioblastoma, being treated at the Malnati Brain Tumor Institute right here in Chicago. Kelly, thank you so much for your time on the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon. How are you, sir?
Howdy. Good. I feel privileged having been invited by you guys. Thank you.
Oh no, the honor is all ours. You know, people have been telling their stories all day. The glioblastoma diagnosis, same one my brother had. It's brain cancer without a cure. It's a scary one. Can you tell us your story of what it was like when you got that that diagnosis?
Yeah. Well, actually, first I wanted to. I tuned in this morning because it got started at 10, and well, first of all, I was sad, obviously, to hear about your brother Brad again. It was good to hear from Dan and Meg, the founders of Brain Up. But I was happy and privileged to have met you at our kickoff event for Brain Up a couple months ago. And then especially, and I know I texted this to you, when I saw you on TV, on First Things First and The Herd with Colin Cowherd, filling in for these guys, I was just like, oh my God, that's so, so impressive. And it's so awesome to have you helping raise for the Brain Up and being part of their board. Anyway.
Well, okay. Thank you very much. I'm doing it in honor of my brother, Brad. I very much appreciate you saying that. But you're the bravery recipient. You're the patient. You're the one with the diagnosis. So, you know, people know my story, but tell them yours. I mean, you're a father of twins and you get this diagnosis. How have you been dealing with it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was the whole thing was shocking. I mean, I got diagnosed on the 4th of July of 2023, which was shocking to begin with. I had surgery on the 7th and got home fairly quickly, and you know, it's definitely been a little bit of a nightmare for, you know, the family and for friends. And, you know, I don't have the benefit of having, a ton of my immediate family, you know, my dad and my mom passed away from a rare cancer a couple of years ago. I have a brother who's in St. Charles, but everyone else on my in-law side and my side, just aren't nearby. So it's hard. I don't have a ton of help, dealing with it. But it, you know, it was, I felt lucky. I got the surgery happened, It's through North Shore System, which I think has changed to Endeavor. The doctor's name was Dr. Wong. I think he did an awesome job, because I only spent one night in the ICU. He released me because I was begging to get out of there, because my kid's birthday was the next day. But it's been a fight. I would say medically and spiritually, just like dealing with this stuff, because to be honest, like it's been hard for me to even accept that, you know, every glioblastoma is deemed a stage four. I've been lucky. It's been 13 months since my initial surgery. And I had an MRI yesterday, and it looks like the cancer hasn't come back yet. So I'm psyched about that. It was great to get invited to bring up, to help raise some money, especially, you know, specifically for brain cancer, because it's kind of a rare cancer that the government doesn't really spend a ton of funding on, you know. I earlier this year, my wife was great and organized a team to raise money for this rare cancer event. We're looking forward to doing the same thing for Brain Up and these guys.
How much self-talk is there? You were mentioning just kind of the emotional toll that it can take, the spiritual toll that you kind of go through with it. How often do you have to convince yourself not to sort of, you know, fall into any bouts of thinking about negativity, thinking about your mortality in sort of a grave way?
I've kind of adopted two thoughts. I kind of stole a slogan from a former company I used to work for, and I'm sure you guys, I'm not going to mention their name, but I'm sure you guys will know, just never stop exploring. I used to work for them, and, you know, I'm chasing the things that make me happy, because even though I sometimes try to convince people that I'm going to be around for 25 years, the reality is that people diagnosed with this, only 15% of the patients live past 5 years, which is it's kind of a shitty as far as longevity is looks. But I'm just trying to chase the things that make me happy, you know, socially, athletically, professionally. I'm really, you know, I can't believe I'm talking on the radio right now. This is the first time I've ever done this.
And you've only cursed. And you've only cursed once.
Yeah,
Kelly.
So far.
Yeah,
so far.
Yeah.
I was gonna.
Try not to do that again.
Be like, I was jokingly going to say, like, what's the rating for radio now? Is it G or PG? Like, what?
Yeah. No, probably, we'll keep it PG. No, you're fine. Don't apologize at all. You're doing a great, great, great job. I know you're going to be at the Brain Up 5K September 21st, the 9th annual. It's September 21st. People can go to brainup.ngo to get all of the information. You can register your team right there on the website. You'll be up on that stage, and Brainup's got a booth at Gallagher Way on Saturday at the Cubs for a Cure event. So listen, man, you keep on keeping on, stay strong, and thank you so much for calling in and telling your story. All right, Kelly?
I appreciate it, man. And I just want people to just get into hope, you know, for themselves, their friends, their injured, that hope's a good thing.
It is. Thank you very much, Kelly. We'll keep the hope, man. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks buddy. Take it easy.
Thank you. That's Kelly Capper with us here on The Score. Keep the donations coming overnight. We've crossed over $330,000. We very much appreciate you. Text CURE24 to 41444, CubsForACure.com. $5 matters, $100 matters, anything you can do. Everyone either has cancer or knows someone who has been impacted by cancer. Ant, thank you so much, man. I mean, we've hosted many times together, and you came in today just thinking, I'm just going to help Parkins get through 24 hours, and you didn't even know that this was my last day.
No, I did not. I did not. But I think the first time I met you in person, I hugged you because it was in the midst of just all the upheaval with your, I think it was your changing role at the station at that point. So, yeah, I'm happy that that I hugged you tonight. It might be the only two times we've ever hugged, maybe. Or no, when your son was going through,
when he was in the NICU. Yeah. You hugged me then too.
Yeah.
You're a good hugger. You're a good hugger.
Adam Amin's got me. But
Adam Amin's got you. Yeah. John Vincent's got you. You know, there's some people who got you, but you know, you're a big impressive man. So you give a good hug. You give a good hug.
Try to take pride in that.
You should. You should. Mm-hmm. No, man. Listen. Stay in touch. Crush it this football season.
It's a plan.
And I know you will. And, you know, what do you think? 4,500 yards, 13 wins, NFC Championship game. That's as a floor?
Probably not.
Probably not?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No. But it'll be entertaining.
Hater. It is good. It is good. You know what? That is the safest prediction ever. How interesting is this team, man?
It's already the most interesting Bears team in years, really. And
right?
I mean, so many of them are young and impressive. So, yeah, I mean, we're in for a very entertaining few seasons, regardless of what the results are.
But you think they're going to be good, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, good. Not elite, but good.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good.
I think they'll be good.
I'll take good. Is 8 wins good or is 10 wins good?
I think 10 wins is good.
10 wins is good. 10 wins, man. Hell yeah.
I think they're going to win 9 games.
9 games.
Yeah.
All right. That's more than half. That's 9 and 8.
Right?
Yeah. That's boring. What a boring prediction. What a boring prediction for the last time we're together. This guy's like, they're going to be 9 and 8.
Uh-huh.
Ugh.
That's what they got for you. It's not my fault. Blame the Bears.
I mean, blame you.
The Bears.
It's been an honor getting to know you and work with you, man. Thank you so much for doing this.
It has been a lot of fun to get to know you as well, man. Look forward to seeing your continued rise.
Hey, man.
It was a pleasant surprise showing up and getting that news tonight. That was fun.
You were genuinely thrilled for me.
That was a lot of fun to find that out live on the air.
That was you were adorable. That was really amazing.
I'm really happy for you, man. I very much am.
Thank you.
That is outstanding news. I like getting good news.
Yeah, hey, absolutely. And it's good news that we're about a third of the way to the $1 million goal for the weekend. We're going to keep it up, though. Text CURE24 to 41444. We got some more incentives to unleash in the next hour. We got Chuck Swirsky in the house. If you missed the moment of the day with Rhino, that's coming up in about 25 minutes. We got a lot more to come. We need to, because I got 13 hours to go. It's the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon on The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.